We're doing the book of Yeshaya. We're up to what's called the ninth chapter, the seventh pasuk. The Navi had been describing how the southern tribes, Judea, will have success and peace, as opposed to the northern tribes, which will be exiled and destroyed. Davar shalach Adonai b'Yaakov v'nafal b'Yisrael. God sent word, God sent caution. At the hands of his prophets, he warned that destruction was imminent. V'nafal b'Yisrael, and it actually happened. Israel was exiled. The northern 10 tribes were destroyed. V'yade'u ha'am kulo Ephraim v'yoshev Shomeron. And let the northern tribes take note, for the destruction has begun, as we discussed earlier. The destruction didn't happen overnight, but rather first, Arza Zvulun v'Arza Naphtali. First you had the northern tribes and tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan, and slowly but surely, the northern 10 tribes were exiled. So God warns them, take note, it's happening. I warned you it would happen, and it is. Begava uvgodel levav leimor. The northern tribes that are so arrogant, they speak in pride as they say, levenim nafalu vegazid nivneh. They say, who cares if our bricks fell? So that's fine. We're going to rebuild with gazit, with beautiful, finely cut stone. If the enemy exiled part of the northern 10 tribes, so we'll strengthen ourselves even more, and we'll just ensure that we have better fortification. So the northern tribes, they didn't take heed when they saw the destruction coming. They said, oh, it's a coincidence. Everyone has their bad day. So we lost a tribe here, a tribe there. But don't worry, we're okay. Shikmim gudau va'arazim nachlif. If the fig trees were uprooted, so then we'll replant cedar trees. We'll plant even better trees. So if our brethren were exiled, that's okay. We'll just bring more kids to the world. We'll build better fortifications. But we're fine. Now, this is one of those interesting examples where the pasuk is saying this is a mistaken philosophy. The destruction is imminent. And people take the pasuk and they quote it literally. Sometimes you come to a yeshuv that was exiled and then rebuilt, or a shul that underwent a fire and was rebuilt, and they write this big plaque, Levenim nafalu vegazit nivneh. If bricks fell, we'll rebuild with fine stone. And they don't realize that the verse says, don't go saying that. It's not going to work. But you'll see this verse quoted often. Vaisagev Adonai et tzarei ritzin alav. Hashem says that, you remember Ritzin, the general of the Assyrian army? So Hashem says, I've strengthened the enemies of Ritzin. Remember, the northern 10 tribes made a pact with Ritzin, with the Aramean king. And they were confident, the northern 10 tribes, that they're safe because they have a peace treaty with the all-powerful Aramean Empire. And Hashem says, not so, because I'm going to strengthen the enemies of Ritzin, the Assyrian Empire. Ve'et oivav yisachseich. And Hashem's going to make the enemies come and scorch him. The enemies will come and take him down. And that's a dual understanding here. Does it mean that the Syrian Empire will take down the Aramean Empire? So the northern tribes are confident because they have a peace treaty with the Aramean Empire, and Hashem says that's nothing to rely on. Or Oyevav is a reference to God's enemies, and it's a reference to the northern 10 tribes themselves, that Hashem says he will bring confusion upon them and they will make mistakes. Aram Mikedim. Historically, the enemies on the east, the Aramean Empire on the east, was a threat. Uflishtim me'achor. And the Philistines kept attacking from the west. Vayochelu et Yisrael b'chol peh. Look at your history. on every occasion, whenever they could. They consumed Israel. They destroyed Israel. Bechol zot lo shava po ve'od yado netuya. And Hashem says, if you look at your history, you've had a bloody history. The last years you've been attacked from the east, from the west. But if you think it's over, no. God says, my hand is still outstretched. I haven't finished. Va'am lo shav ad hamakehu. Hashem says, the nation has not done tshuva. They have not come back to the one who controls their punishment. Hashem says, I'm the one that's bringing this punishment upon you. But you're not returning to me. Because you're assuming it's all coincidental. Ve'et Adonai Tzevaot lo darashu. They don't seek out Hashem, who controls all the armies. They assume we have an issue with an army, we'll strengthen ourselves. Hashem says, no, you should seek out me. I am Hashem Tzevakot. I control the Tzevaot, the armies of the land. Vayachet Adonai migisrael. Hashem says, you will see. I will cut down from Israel Rosh v'zanav, the leader, the head, the tail, those that are important and those that are unimportant. Kippah v'agmon yom echad, be it the kippah, be it the nobles that are compared to a beautiful branch. Kippah is a beautiful branch. V'agmon, and agmon is a type of plant that, gum arabic, that grows by the ponds. So Hashem says, be it the beautiful branch, be it the branch that grows by water, they're all going to be cut down in one day. And that's a metaphor. Hashem says, I will cut down from the nobles, from the leaders, down to the common man. There will be a sudden and abrupt destruction. Zaken unsufanim hu harosh. There, be it the elder or the person that everyone looks up to because he's the leader. And when I speak about the tail, I'm talking about those lying prophets that you have. The prophets who are soothsayers, who invent their own prophecies. They're the tail, and they're all going to be cut down at once. The guides of this nation are those that misled the nation. You have these false prophets who are committing adultery, who are committing every heinous crime, and telling the people, this is what God wants. Just come work with us. You have nothing to worry about. Everything's going to be okay. Well, the leaders, the guides, the people who should have led them in God's path, they led them astray. U'sharav mevula'im. The people who the nation assumed were honest, those people were really corrupt. Al kein al bachurav lo yismach Adonai. Hashem says, al kein, therefore. Now, in Hebrew, you see an example of this here. You'll see it again in other places. We say it every night in the evening prayer. The word al-kain, therefore, can be forward. It can mean, because of what I'm going to say later, that's why what I'm saying now happens. We say it every day in Aleinu. We say, al-kain nekaveh lecha Hashem Elokeinu. Therefore, we hope to you, Hashem. Why? Not because of what was aforementioned, but what will be mentioned at the end of the paragraph. Ki amalchut shelcha hi, what we say at the end of Al Kain, because king, the royalty, the reign is really yours. That's why we hope for you. We say Al Kain nekaveh, and we're going to say at the end of the paragraph what Al Kain goes on the future. So over here too, Hashem says, for the reason I'm going to say at the end, that's why I, says Hashem, I am not happy with the youngsters of Israel, the chosen ones of Israel. God says, I won't have pity even on the orphans and the widows. Why? Because they're filled with sycophancy, they're filled with evil. And they speak in a vulgar way. בכל זאת לא שאבה פה ועוד ידו נטויה. And even though the orphans and widows, everyone's going to suffer, Hashem says, I'm not done yet. Now, here you see the accountability of the people. Hashem says, if the people do not stand up to injustice, if the people are sycophants, they compliment the wicked leaders, so then I hold them accountable. Ki chulo chanef u'meira. So you have the evil leaders, and then you have the people who sweet talk them, who don't say, they don't call a spade. Hashem says, that's why I won't have mercy on them. And the Talmud over here gives us a very scary line. Okay, you have to hear the quote inside. The Gemara in Ksubos tells us why were we given fingers? Why is it that we have fingers that actually fit into our ears to tell us that sometimes if you things are being said that you shouldn't be hearing, you could stick your finger into your ear. That's why the ears are curved at the end, so they, the fingers are curved at the end. So that's one thing the Gemara says. The Gemara goes into different things like that. And then the Gemara says, a person should be careful not to let his ears listen to pointless things, because the ears are the first to get scorched in perdition. It's interesting, when it comes to frostbite, the tips of the ears are also the first place where people get frostbitten. Now, I'm not finding the continuation of the Gemara. Where is it? Okay, I'll quote you by heart. But not saying it right now. The Gemara says, everyone knows why a kala is getting married. Everyone knows what's going to happen that night. But if anyone is so vulgar as to discuss it, so then even if in heaven they decided to grant him, they already sealed his fate, that he'd have 70 blessed years. Sometimes a person is judged 70 years at a time. So even if it was decided he'd have 70 years of blessing, it's undone. Because one of the things God hates is vulgar speech. When a person speaks about things that should be modest, things that should not be spoken about, and he speaks about them openly, so God hates that. And that concept is derived from this pasuk, that Hashem says, all this, look, even the orphans and widows don't get mercy. And what's the worst thing the pasuk says? There's sycophancy, there's evil, and they speak vulgar. If their language is vulgar, that's the final point, as though that's the worst of the bunch. So from there, the Gemara says, yeah, that's the thing God hates. That when people will speak vulgar language, what is that? What's called vulgar in Hebrew? Vulgar doesn't mean to swear. Vulgar means to speak about things that we should be modest about and speak about them openly. So the Gemara's example is, everyone knows what's going to happen the night of the wedding, and that's something that no one should be talking about. That's the Gemara's example of immodest speech, what's called dover nevala.
Also, oh, you figure that if a society's at that point where that's the normal level of discourse, you got a lot of the rest of the stuff going on and then some too, for sure.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. The Talmud tells us in the days of the first temple, people would be walking in the marketplace, they'd meet one another and say, how was your bed last night? And they weren't talking about the bed. They were comparing the different women they were sleeping with. That was common conversation in the marketplace. So